Blog Talk Radio.
Check, one, two.
Welcome to Flavors. Sit down. Have a cup of flavor.
Peace and blessings, and welcome to Flavor Coffee House Online Radio Style. Excuse me, I got to clear that frog out of my throat. I was trying to have that gone by the time I went on the air, but how are you? Come on in, come on in. I've saved a seat for you. I've got the coffee going, some tea, water boiling. I've got, you know, that yummy, yummy soothing water. But come on in, sit down. Let's share the next hour or two with each other. I'm in the mood to talk. So is there anybody out there that's in the mood to talk with me? If so, call in. The number is 347-857-1189. I do open up the phone lines for artists to call in and promote themselves, you know, but I'm in the mood to talk. And I know I really, really need to schedule an artist roundtable because there's so much going on in my head right now. And topics that have been frequently discussed amongst people that are either my colleagues or artists that I work with and all of that. So there's just things that I would love to talk about. And I'd love to share, you know, some conversation with you. So again, call me, 347-857-1189. I've pretty much only been doing Morning Coffee with Flava and this show, Flava Coffee House, lately. Life is very, very busy for me. Very, very busy, much more than I kind of had anticipated because, you know, I want to do the new Music Leaks, which is still going to happen. You know, I do the Breaking BS with J.C. Cage. So please tune in Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, because that's going to be a special show. And, you know, I've got, you know, other miscellaneous shows. I want to schedule some features and all of that, you know, but I've really kind of had to hold back just because of the projects that I'm working on. If you listen to the shows, you know that I'm involved in a literary festival out in Washington, D.C., and I'm really excited about that. I'm very, very proud of Lamont Carey out there, and so I'm proud to assist him on that project. I just released my first project for Marlux Records, so Emerald Drive by Mark Van Clagett is now available over at cdbaby.com. I had to, at the last minute, build a website, and it's a WordPress site at the moment, to be able to sell his album. It's interesting when you have a web designer that doesn't want to respond, and all of that, and I felt like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And so I just, in the middle of the night, Sunday morning, before Mother's Day, I built a WordPress site so that, you know, you can go over there, learn a little bit about Mark Van Clagett, and be able to buy his album directly from us. If you buy an album directly from the artist, we make the most money. If you go to CD Baby or iTunes or any of the online music stores, of course those outlets get a percentage, which is cool, you know. But I would really, really encourage you to, you know, consider when you buy a product, unless you just, you know, feel more comfortable going to those sites. The way that we've got it set up for Mark Van Clagett is that it's sold through his PayPal, and then I mail it out. And so I've got the product here. I'm ready to mail it. I did my first post office run the other day. Well, yesterday, actually. And I'm so excited. So, you know, shout out to all that have already purchased a copy of Emerald Drive. Please let me know what you think of it. Let us know. And the interesting thing with Mark is that he's on tour all the time. And so that's why I kind of took on this project, in a sense, for him, is because he's out on tour, and he's not singing his own music, but he does travel the world, and as a member of a group called Tribute, and they sing music. They sing the Temptations music, you know, the whole dance routine, the whole outfits, everything. And they're absolutely amazing. No, I have not experienced them in person. I've just only seen the videos, but that's what he does for a living. And so, you know, when the album, you know, we've been working on this album for a year now. And, you know, when this whole process went through, I'm like, okay, how is this really going to work when you're gone, you know, on the road all the time, out on tour? And so, you know, I took it on. And now I've really, really learned what artists go through in trying to put out a product and a polished product. And so, yeah, now the whole thing starts with, you know, getting the word out. I have a lot of radio stations that want to play his music, which is great, which I hope in turn will, you know, introduce people to his sound to then cause them to want to seek out his music to purchase. I think that's the challenge when it comes to being an artist. Then I've got an event that I'm working on with Black Stacks, which is taking place this Thursday, May 23rd, at the Triple Door. It is a beautiful venue, and you're going to have the experience of visual art. You're going to, of course, experience the amazing sounds of Black Stacks, but they're going to be backed up by a live band, which is Clientele. If you are in Seattle and you were at the Hard Rock, you got a taste of what that was like. That is really amazing to see hip-hop soul backed up by live musicians. There's some other special treats and guests that are going to be taking place and participating that night. So please come out. This is really about our youth. I know sometimes when you push an event, it seems like it's mostly about the artists, right? And of course it is a bit. But the reason that Black Stacks got involved and Clientele got involved in this particular event is because it's about the youth. This is about Taft Academy, which is a STEM school. Their focus is on, you know, what do they call it? Serving underserved population of children that do not have the opportunities in the main type of school system to really focus on science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And the success rate of the students that graduate from the school has been tremendous. As far as what I know, so far they've all actually gone on to college. And so we're really, really proud to be involved with this particular project. So again, it's a fundraiser for Taft Academy, a STEM program. It's called STEM Plus Art. You can purchase tickets online at tripledoor.com. Or if you holler at me, you can email me at ladyflava@flavanews.com, or you can email JC Cage from Black Stacks at blackstacks@gmail.com. If you're in this area, you know, let us know, and we will definitely try to, you know, connect with you and, you know, have tickets that you can purchase directly from us, because I know sometimes it just doesn't work doing the online thing, or you're just not comfortable in doing that. So we want to make sure that you can have an opportunity to join us that night, so reach out to us. It's going to be a great, great affair. So I know I've been rambling a bit, but let me jump into some music. I'm going to play some new music that I've not played since I haven't done any of the new music leads. This is Ricky J, and it's called Do It.
Put those hands in the air, just do it. We about to shut it down. Rep your city in your town. Drop it low. That crazy ghost, the way to do it. Back to the floor. If you really want more, you can ride this beat all night. Set the roof on fire as we make things hot. We just here for a really good time.
Yeah.
Grind to the top and rock that anthem. Strike a pose and set off my cannon. Like a birthday party, we about to get it started. So turn it up, 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 now crank it.
Just turn it up.
I think has an absolutely beautiful voice. It was so funny because Richard Johnson from Soul Factory Presents out in New York put a post up and said, would you like to see Noel Gordine on the stage at Soul Factory? And of course, you know, an absolutely amazing talent. And I'm so glad that Marvin Mack sent his music to me and love the connection, you know, with Marvin and the artist that he is working with over there at Top Notch. And so this is Noel Gordine with his piece, Foxy.
Ooh, yeah.
Listen.
It was 10 o'clock on the dot when I got a call from this woman I met. And her name's Naomi. Noel, I'm lonely, so come scoop me. I said, surely, good golly, sweet lady, she's all lady, and so sexy, oh Lord, she consumes me, and got me contemplating what I'm gonna do or say, yeah, I gotta clean if you know what I mean, cause she's a star that's yet to be seen, and I know that she could be the one for me, baby. While we cruising, we gon' navigate up to the lake where we
Richard Johnson, you've got my vote. I think that Noel needs to come and hit the stage at Soul Factory out there in New York. Shout out to Richard Johnson and to David and everybody who's involved with Soul Factory in New York. It takes place the last Saturday of every month at the Drome on 85th Avenue out there in New York City. And this coming month, May 25th, Angela Johnson is going to be hitting the stage. And they're celebrating the 10th anniversary of Soul Tracks. So along with Angela Johnson, there's going to be Russell Taylor, and I believe there's going to be some special guests that they haven't quite announced yet. The beautiful thing about this online thing is that, and what I love with Soul Factory is every month, even though I'm in Seattle, Washington, I can sit in the comfort of my home and watch Soul Factory. Gander TV brings it to you live. I really encourage if you're in that New York area, to get out and experience it in person. But if not, if you want to see a really, really, really well-done independent artist showcase, you need to tune in to Gander TV. I mean, it starts on time. The artists are given a certain amount, and then it's done. They promote artists' music. You know, all the artists are allowed to sell it in the back of the room there. They have a great, great live band that performs behind the artist. It's a really, really well-done show. Tune in with me on May 25th if you're not in New York, and check out this particular show. It's going to be special. So, I've had a lot of thoughts going on in my head, and I'll be honest with you, I've had a hard time sleeping for, a week or so. Just because I've got some great projects going on, there are people reaching out to me. And this is when I realized that all the hard work that I've put in is starting to pay off. Because people are starting to reach out to me. It's not just me reaching out to them. The artists that they're paying attention to, honestly, are talents that have really, really invested in themselves. And I'm going to say this, and I don't want to sound mean, I don't want to sound like I am criticizing, but when the people are reaching out to me from across the United States, and right now it's across the United States, there is some off into Europe that's wanting to play the music too. they're really looking at a quality production. And, you know, and so that's one thing I'm going to really, really stress. When it comes to an underground independent artist, you may have all the talents in the world. You may hit that stage and just put on a great show. But if you don't have a quality production when it comes to your recordings, you may really, really get skipped over. And I'll be honest with you, too. Hip-hop is getting skipped over the most in what I play on Flava News Radio, whether it comes to the quality of the production or when it comes to the lyrical content. You know, so really, really think about it. You know, how are you recording your music? Who's mixing and mastering it? If you want to go forward in what you're doing, make sure that your music's copywritten. Make sure that you are registered with ASCAP or BMI. You know, make sure that everything is done professionally, that your business part is as tight as your stage presence, because that's what they're going to look for. That's what they're going to ask for when it comes to the end results. I'm working on some booking stuff, you know, and reaching out. I'm looking into, you know, getting some of the artists that I work closely with written up in publications. And the things that they're asking for is all of that. You know, they want to see a pitch. They want to see a one sheet. You know, they want to see EPKs. They want to hear the music. And so I think because I've been able to present those type of things, in the beginning they're reaching out to me about other artists. And so really, really, really stress. If you want to make moves in this industry, it is very, very competitive, very competitive. You need to have a quality product. You need to have your business stuff down. You might think it's tight. You really need to know if it's tight. You know, and so when I look at showcases out there that are taking place across the United States, the R&B soul and jazz artists have it down packed. They have it down packed. Some of them not, of course, you know, but a good portion of them do, as far as, you know, putting together a good lineup that complements each other, to understanding what's needed to take place. The hip-hop showcases are more so along the line of an open mic type thing. There's not some, you know, they'll put more than three acts on the stage. If there isn't the quality from start to finish with them and all of that. And so, you know, I think it's good for a hype, you know, but when you want to be taken serious, when you want to be taken serious, and make moves, really, really think about who you get on stage with, what type of show you get on stage. Not all shows are going to be beneficial to you, you know, and where you want to go with your career. Okay, it might sound like I'm slamming hip-hop, you know, and if you know me, you know that hip-hop is the genre that I have the most struggles with, from the disrespect that has come my direction from the artist to the lack of, you know, having their whole business plan in place, from productions of it to lyrical content to not being ready, you know, when it comes to, you know, when it comes to the business aspect of moving forward. And so maybe I am harder on hip hop, you know, and I'm definitely open for you to dispute me on that, you know, but I'm at a stage where people are paying attention. It's funny, I was having a conversation with J.C. Cage from Black Stacks, and you know that I work very, very closely with them. And there's many reasons why I'm so committed and passionate about Black Stacks. And many of you have heard my stories already, so I won't go into it right now. But I started doing this show that they sponsored called Breaking BS, and BS stands for Black Stacks. And there are people who are listening to the show that are flooring me, from, you know, a minister in the UK to a Polish rock band to, you know, somebody over in Australia reaching out. And so you just never know who's going to pay attention and who's going to really, really appreciate the talents, you know. And so that just really surprised me when Black Sax is a hip-hop soul group, right, who's actually reaching out to me from Blog Talk Radio, hearing them right here, you know, on Flavor News Radio, and showing a really, really, really strong interest. Because of the hard work that Black Sax has put in and that I've put in for them, there are people who are reaching out to me for them. I'm not even having to do the reach out anymore. A colleague in Chicago reached out and said, hey, Flava, there's this magazine I think they should be written up in. She handled it, you know, and I trusted her to handle that. And, you know, that's what happens when you put together something that's quality, when you have somebody who works behind you who's passionate about you. Doors start opening up. And so really, really think about that as an independent underground artist. It doesn't matter if you're just music. It doesn't matter if you're literature or a painter or whatever. You need to have a team that's really passionate about you. You need to have your business down. You need to be putting out quality work and know that it's quality work. I sometimes think that some artists don't know what's quality and not. And I think that you go to your homies and, you know, people right there in your immediate circles to find out whether something's good or not. You need to step out of your comfort zone, and you need to find out who's really, really going to pay attention and listen to what you're creating all the way through. And you need to have thick skin to be able to take the critique. Because, you know, I'll be honest with you, there are people who reach out to me and say, Flavor, you should do this, you should do that and the other. And I do pay attention. I take in to consideration why they're saying it, who's saying it, you know, and what I can walk away from and learn and grow from what they're sharing. And so when you're in this industry and you choose to be a public figure, you do need to have tough skin. I think that people need to watch about who they get in business with and who they latch on to. Too many times, I can speak for myself, I got involved with people that I really should never have gotten involved in. I have seen too many situations where women have jumped up because they have a crush on an artist and say, oh, my goodness, I believe in you. I love your music and this and that. What can I do to help you? And, you know, most male artists are charismatic and this, that, and the other, and they draw you in, and then they make you feel like you're special, whatever. And then when something goes wrong, then all of a sudden that female is hating, you know, and the team is gone, and this, that, and the other. So I think that you need to really think about why you get involved with an artist. Do you really, really believe in what they're doing, or are you drawn to the charisma and the charm and the hype? You know, and then you need to know, does this person have the quality of what it takes to be a part of your team? You know, is this somebody you want to attach your name to? I think that people need to do their research. I think we need to take more time sitting back and watching, you know, what is taking place on stage, online, you know, whatever. And the other thing when it comes to an artist, you have to know how to talk to people. You really do, because you are going to be your best spokesperson. You know, there's one thing that I can sit here and say, oh, my God, Black Sax is amazing, Monica Monet is amazing, whatever. But those artists have to be able to engage people in person. And so if you don't have good people skills, there's a really good chance that you're not going to go too far. I think the Internet, in a sense, has made us lazy, and so many of us do not engage people in person. One thing I will say about Alvin Lloyd Alexander Horn, an author that is a dear, dear friend of mine, my brother out here in Seattle, he goes everywhere with his books, everywhere. He wears his books on his shirts. He has postcards. He has business cards. He has cases of books in the trunk of his car. He goes everywhere. He goes to bookstores. He goes to cafes. He goes anywhere that will allow him to sit with his books out, do his work, sell his product, you know, and so he'll engage people. You know, he's also a spoken word artist, and he plays stand-up bass and other musical instruments. And so even when he's performing, doing those things, he has his books with him, and he will engage people. And so I think that's something that's really important, too, and I think that there are a lot of artists that miss a lot of that. It's not easy to be a public figure. It is not easy to be in this industry. There are too many people to compete against, so you've got to polish all of those things. And I know it's a lot of pressure, but I think it's something that you really, really need to think about. All right, yay, somebody's raised their hand, so let me bring them in. So did you come to save me, baby girl?
Yeah, you know what? Good morning. Let me start with that. Good Saturday morning. excuse the way I sound, I am completely exhausted. I didn't get home till 2:30 because we got called in to do the radio show last night. But you know what? When you talk sometimes, it scares me, and in a good way, because a lot of what you share with everybody on your shows and putting them on game and giving them knowledge, I say the same thing. I think the same way. And sometimes it's like, was she here? Like, did you hear me say that before? Or was I with her? You know, and it's one of those things like everything, communication and presentation is everything. Everything, even especially if you're an artist, but even if you're not an artist, just in business in general, it is everything. If you don't know how to communicate or present your product or what you're trying to accomplish with someone else in a meeting or whatever you're trying to do, it won't work. You have to strategize and know exactly what it is you're trying to convey to the audience, so that they understand clearly what you're trying to do or say. And I had a prime example of that this past Tuesday, because I go to open mics in the Bay Area,
mm-hmm.
to go check out local talent. And there's one open mic at a place called Sweet Fingers, put on by Igor Beats. He's been doing it for the last 4 years every Tuesday consistently. And I do pop-ups over there. I never let him know when I'm coming. I just always do pop-ups. And I'm not the type, even though I'm on the radio, I'm not the type where I go and I'm like, I'm the radio girl, and I don't do that. I come in, I sneak in, and I sit in the back and I watch, because when they know that you're there and you're a part of the radio, then they want to do extra that they wouldn't normally do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I want to see them in their actual element. And it just so happened that this past Tuesday, Igor embarrassed me like crazy, because he brought me on stage, and he gave me the microphone, and I shared with all the artists there. I said several things. I said, one, stop lip syncing, because the venue is not big enough for you to have to lip sync, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you should know your words. And if you don't know your words, you need to practice your words. If you're lip syncing because you're getting short of wind, stop smoking before you go on stage. Start working out. Do some running. Do some aerobics, and you'll get your wind up. And then I also told them, you know, stop coming on stage with all of your friends. If there's only two artists in the group, don't come on stage with everybody. This is your time to shine. Get up here and shine. And I told them when I see certain things, that's why I walk to the back and go outside, because I'm not even interested anymore.
Right.
Because what you've already presented to me is that you don't believe in yourself enough to get up here and do a quality performance by yourself. So if
I
you
think
can't
so.
Show us, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, baby girl.
And that's not for everyone. On Igor's show, it's strictly hip hop. So I definitely agree with you on the difference between hip hop, watching hip hop shows or watching a hip hop open mic, compared to the jazz and the R&B, because their presentation is more polished. It is more refined, and I think you were right when it comes to the lazy aspect, because of the way the internet and the way we do social media, because people will contact you and they'll just start messaging you and talking to you like they just want to sell themselves. And that's great that you want to sell yourself. But from what I learned in business 101, the audience has to like you first. Then they'll like your product.
No. And I appreciate everything that you're saying, you know. And I think the bad thing is that, you know, I'll apologize for the bad rap that, you know, hip hop is getting from me. You know, I'm new to it. And so it's not something I came up with. It's not something that I grew up with a passion about. And so it's something I had to learn. And because I came into understanding hip-hop through conscious hip-hop artists that are messengers, my understanding is a little bit different. And so I don't necessarily feel what I call commercial hip-hop or gimmick hip-hop. That's not something I gravitate to. And it also is probably because of my age. You know, I think that when it comes to hip-hop artists, I think that is a genre that's forgiven. And the reason why I say that is because too many artists record in their home studios. Too many artists don't really know how to use the equipment that they use. So when it comes down to mixing and mastering and really getting a polished sound or really combining a beat to the lyrics, where they complement each other,
yes,
is not there. And so, you know, because if you listen to a hip-hop artist, rapper, MC, whatever it is you want to call them, who is mainstream and is doing it really, really well, listen to how the whole production blends and complements. And so, you know, I know that you can, you know, go and buy a beat from somebody or whatever it is, but there's a trick to combining it all together and making it work and knowing, you know, when and how to, put the flow together to put inflections in there, how to slow it down, how to speed it up. You know, the cadence to it all, whatever. There's a trick to it. And I'm finding that, for some reason, the hip-hop genre is oversaturated. Everybody wants to be a hip-hop artist.
Everybody wants to be an artist.
You know, and so I don't think they really understand what it's going to take to stand out above the next, because there's so many. And because the way technology is set up, you can download programs on your computer and you can record in your own home. You can make beats in your own home, all of that. And not to say that other genres don't do that, because they do. But the thing is, I don't know what it is, but there is such a distinct difference in the quality of productions when you listen to hip-hop artists.
Yes.
And there's very few, there is very few that come my way on Flavor News Radio that have it all the way down. A lot of the artists don't even have their music copywritten or registered.
Right.
So if you talk about wanting to get paid and you start getting to those radio stations that have the capability to pay royalties, you're not going to get paid because you're not registered.
Right. That's right.
You know, and so it's just like I've been sending out some things about Black Stacks. They have a pitch. They have a one sheet. They have an EPK. They have everything down. It's easy.
Yes.
It is easy, yes. Because I can just send it out to whomever is requesting the information, you know, or whoever I see may have an interest in them. It's easy because everything is there, ready to go. And so, you know, the hip-hop community talks about wanting to make moves, yet they don't have the tools together to make those moves. And then, you know, a young artist sends me something that's talking about, you know, whooping the pee all over the place or whatever. I'm like, are you, like, really serious? Do you even know who I am? You sent me that as your first track to introduce yourself to me?
Yeah, I know.
So,
it's crazy.
You know, and then so he was like, oh, Lady Flava, my bad. Well, you know, first of all, that's not how you talk to me. I'm not your peer. I'm not your homie. So you don't say, you know, my bad, Lady Flava.
My bad.
Or yo. You don't address me that way. You know, I don't ever have to say that to an R&B soul artist. I never have to say that to a jazz artist. I have not even had to say that to a rock artist. You know, for some reason, they know how to address me appropriately. you know? And so, I just, you know, it was just like he came back and he says, oh, well, yo, maybe you'll like this one better. Okay, well, yo, you know what? You should have listened to my shows to figure out what I'll play.
That's right.
You know?
Do your research.
It's like you
should have
looked at my picture and said, would she appreciate that, you know? Oh, whatever. And so, again, I know that there are some hip-hop artists out there that are doing it really, really well. There are some hip-hop artists that really have no dreams or aspirations to go further than just creating. That's okay. I think when it comes to being a creative soul, you need to know what your purpose is. You know, and if you have that desire to go further and to make moves and all of that, then you need to have the tools to be able to do it. You know, again, going back to who's paying attention to Flava News Radio, they're reaching out about some really top quality artists that they're hearing on the show. So, and in turn, I either connect them with the artists, I in turn ask the artists if they are wanting me to represent them when it comes to some of this stuff, or I go back to who is handling the management and publicity for those artists. You know, and so it's a beautiful thing, you know, to be in a position now where people are coming to me and saying, hey, Flava, I'm really digging what I heard on your show on this day. Who was that? You know, or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And to have people reaching out to me and saying, hey, can I reach out to this publication in behalf of you and? You know, I never thought things like that would happen. And so I know, Erica, that you work really hard working with the artists down there in the Bay Area, and majority of them are hip-hop artists, you know.
Yeah.
And you, you know, you're much younger than I am. I could have birthed you and all of that, you know, but I think that you have such a strong business sense and understanding of what it takes to, you know, be a quality artist. You will be much further along than I am, you know, at this point in my life. But I think that's where you have to be. I think that, in my opinion, that's where you have to be and have that understanding so that, you know, you can begin to compete, you know, and be seen and recognized out there as a serious artist. And when you're somebody like who we are, Erica, for us to stand out and people understand that we're not going to accept anything less than the best.
That's, yes, quality over quantity. People will send me music or they'll come up and talk to me or they'll send me a message inbox. And I'll share this really quick story about this a specific incident that's perfect for what you're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who's actually connected to you reached out to me, and they friended me. They sent a friend request, and so I always message people when they send me a friend request because, my personal page, I just don't add everybody because that's my personal page. I have a fan page for that and because I don't want my timeline filled with everybody wanting to post stuff, and I don't know nothing about them, you know?
Sure.
So he reached out to me, and when he answered back to me, he immediately just started sending me like he was, you know, selling himself, well, sell as an artist.
Okay.
And so I said, and so my response was, that's great, you're an artist, but who are you?
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, well, I'm friends with Lady Flava, and I'm friends with Lady Flava, and I saw that you were on the radio show, so I wanted to reach out to you. And I thought maybe that, you know, I could share my music with you and maybe you could play it. I said, now that's how you introduce yourself.
Right.
You know, that's how you come to me about that. I'm not a robot. I'm not someone who I'm just so eager to get everybody on and get them heard that I'm just because you send me music, I'm going to do that. I want to know who you are as a person, because if I do share your music, if I do, you know, if you need a producer or need a resource and I have and I'm able to, you know, share that information with you, then if I do that, the person I'm referring you to, they're going to automatically think because I sent you there that I know you. So I don't want to put nothing on the line or, you know, rock the boat with what I'm building up personally with my business relationship just because you're an artist and that's the way you came to me. You know, there you should be able to be respectful and present yourself as a person first, then the artist, and share what you do. So we understand who you are as a package.
Well, I would say something a little bit different. I've learned over the years I don't want to know artists as a person. I know that might sound mean. That might sound mean, right? I don't really want to know too much about your person. What I do want to know is that you're professional. One thing I will recognize is the fact that sometimes when you come from different regions, you handle things a little bit different. The
True.
Other thing is that when you're a different age, you may handle things a little different, because I know who exactly you're talking about. His music is a little different. It's not necessarily something that can be pushed to anybody. He has a specific style with a specific audience for his style.
And
so,
like,
you know, I'm a little bit more forgiving when it comes to him, just because I know what direction. I know exactly who I'm going to represent and who I'm not. You know, and so sometimes when you know a little bit too much about people, it can hinder you. Or if you think you know about them and then something turns around and you say, dang, I really didn't know. So what I look for more so in an artist that I have business dealings with is that they know how to carry themselves in the public eye and that they're putting together a package that I'm okay with associating my name with, and I know why I'm associating my name with them. Now, you know, when it comes to the artists that I really, really represent, it's Black Stax, Monica Monet, and Mark Van Claggett. You know,
right.
If it's authors, it is Alvin Lloyd, Alexander Horn, Travis, VP Fox, a.k.a. Poe, Barbara Grosvenor, you know.
Right.
And so you know what artists I really will attach my name to. The other artists, when it comes to Flavor News Radio, it's just an opportunity to have your music heard. Some of it, you know, I try to go for as quality as possible, you know, but it's not necessarily all right there when it comes to Flavor News Radio. The reason why I started out the show the way that I did is the fact that there are some artists that I do play on Flavor News Radio that will never go anywhere past this. And that's just a fact.
Right.
You know, because they don't work on the quality. They don't work on building a relationship. They don't work on win-win, even for their own selves. There are other artists that are top-notch. They have everything down. They have the press kits, the EPKs. They have the websites. They have the polished sounds. They have everything, and you can push them in a different direction, and you will definitely have an opportunity to possibly be connected to somebody who wants to pay attention to those artists. Or, you know, somebody will reach out and say, well, who is that? You know, and how can I, you know, connect with them? That you'll have those kind of artists, you know. And so I will definitely, so when you brought up that particular artist, I totally, yeah, get you on that. And I think it's okay to check them. But also just recognize, too, that different people from different regions handle things differently. And a different age group will handle things differently. And he took the wrong approach because of knowing me. He didn't handle that, you know, correctly. So, I totally get it. Let me bring somebody else in to join this conversation. And I'm glad that you called in, Erica. Stay on the line because you'll want to hear from this person, too.
Okay.
Well, Stephen Jerome Ferguson, how are you, my friend?
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
It's been a long time since I've heard from you on the radio show.
I know. I've been listening in a few times, and
I know.
Most of the time,
I see
you have me. You be having the coffee shop thing, but usually on Wednesdays. Wednesday mornings.
And I try to
listen to that, and but I'm usually at work, so I can't run my mouth the way I want to. Hey, Erica, how you doing, girl?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Just wanted to call in and say hey to the hardest working two women I know on Facebook. You guys are out there doing your thing. Lord, have mercy. But that's a good thing.
I know some of my kids are like, Mama, we had to hide you. We didn't delete you, but we hid you. And periodically, we come and peek at your page just to see if you said anything we would really want to pay attention to. But, yeah. And so, like, some of my people from my Susan page, I posted over there, and I told them, I said, you know, y'all are kind of boring over here. I said, so y'all run.
I know that's right.
I said, you're running me over to my Lady Flava page because artists are much more exciting than you are. Oh, Lord, why did I do that?
You are so funny.
No,
but they are. I'm telling you, my family, okay, I have some family, some extended family, you know, from my oldest daughter's father's side. Yeah, we're all a happy bunch over there. We got, you know, the first child's family over there. We got the second child's family over there, yeah. But anyway, so, and then we got the extended children, the adopted children, their family, everybody. But anyway, so my oldest daughter's father's family, they all like one love. One love what? One love, sis. I haven't seen you in 20 years. One love what? You know, I'm like, okay. They're probably listening to my show right now, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they're so boring over there. You know, that's like the extent of what gets posted on my page. I could say good morning over there and nobody says good morning back. You know, I could post about my radio show. They don't post nothing back, you know. It's just like, wow, what do you guys do over here? Like, why are you just, like, so boring? So I said, you're all running me back to my Lady Flava's page. So what happened? Some of them sent me friend requests on my Lady Flava page. I said, okay, this is up to you if you want to stay here. It's up to you, but, you know, I don't post as much as I used to, Stephen. I just want you to know that.
Really?
You know what? That's true.
Really?
That's true. There would be two people who would kill my timeline during the day, and it would be Nick, and it would be Lady Flava, and all of a sudden, like, I don't see you.
You know what? You're a bit ashamed of yourself for telling that story like that. Every time I open up my, if I go on my phone or whatever, there's something from Lady Flava. There's something from Erica.
That's because you just happened to open it up at that point.
Exactly. If you know, and the other people on your page aren't doing nothing.
Okay.
So you got some boring people over there on your page.
You got the boring people on your page.
You just happened to open it up, you know, at the time when I post. I'm serious, Stephen. I don't post like I used to post. I don't. You know, I.
And really,
because I've been busy doing stuff. Behind the scenes.
Both of you guys have been doing a lot of work behind the scenes. I just can't tell you guys how proud I am of both of y'all. You guys are really out there hustling, and I really appreciate that.
I think we learned some lessons. You know, I think Stephen, you and I, we've talked about this too, just as Erica and I. You know, 2012 was an interesting year, you know, and we learned some lessons.
Yes, indeed we have.
You know, and so going into this year, not to say that everything was perfect and not to say that lessons haven't been learned going into this year, but I think that the hard work, the things that we did right, you know, are paying off. You know, I think we needed to shed some baggage, and you know, and recognize, you know, relationships at work, recognize what direction it is that we want to go in what we're doing, because all three of us are a business, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you just happen to be an amazing talent.
I wouldn't say amazing, but I'm a talent of something. I don't know. But, you know, you got to – sometimes when you plant a garden, you have to weed your garden sometimes. In order to keep the rest of the plants strong and fresh, you have to weed. So, you know, it happens.
The other thing that I will also say is that, there were some bad relationships that happened, you know, in 2012. Or carried in 2012 or whatever. I won't necessarily say that they're bad people. I think that there are people who come together who just don't work well together.
Definitely.
You know, and so, and that you bring out the worst in each other in some sense. You know, so it makes it seem like somebody's a bad person. And I won't say that it's necessarily that way, but I think that it just meant that the relationship was not going to work and it was never going to go anywhere. And so I think that that was one of the eye-openers in 2012, is just recognizing, you know, what kind of personality works best with mine. Because, you know, both of you know I have a strong personality, you know, and so... Not all are going to be able to handle, you know, how I talk or how, you know, how I handle things or how I say things or whatever, you know. And so.
Sometimes I'll go up on Facebook and some of your posts, I'll be like, somebody been a catalyst for something. Because she is tongue lashing everybody, and sometimes like you know how when you in trouble with your mama or your parents, like you just, or they're upset, so you kind of like stay clear from them. So sometimes I won't comment because I don't know if my answer is right or wrong.
I know Erica said, I said something to the effect of, you know, what's a win-win when it comes to this industry, and Erica said sacrifices. I don't know. It's like, okay, what does that mean? You know, like,
yeah, I guess I was way off of what she was asking.
And then she was like, you know, when your mama and this and that. I'm like, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, she was kind of like, was that the right answer? And I'm like,
with it. Yeah. But you have to, to be honest with you, there are a few bad people in this business. Now, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there are a few.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the biggest problem is when you're trying to do something with somebody. One of the things you have to look at is experience level too.
Sure.
If you've been in the business 10, 15, 20 years, and you're trying to deal with somebody that's got 6 months in the business, that person with the most experience has to look at that and realize that there's going to be some things that they're going to have to teach, and they have to be extremely patient.
Sure.
And if you don't have the patience to deal with it, I mean, it's like trying to teach a 3-year-old how to drive a car sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of hard to do, but
I also think that, you know,
you got to look at all that.
I agree with you, Stephen. You know, I think that you have to know and get a sense of where the person is that you may get involved with, and what, you know, understanding what it is that you can do with them and what you can't. And and I think that there, you know, I'm really, really blessed that there are people, you know, that I'm connected to across the United States and a little bit, you know, around the world, that maybe younger than me, but they have an expertise that I don't have, and they like me. They like what they hear on the radio. They like how we connect, you know, or whatever. And so they teach me, you know, and they help me to be a better person. And then in turn, I'm able to help other people be better. I think when it comes to some of the posts that I post out there, I want people to think. And I think that the bad thing in this industry is there are too many people who are in an artist's life that poo-poo them and won't tell them the truth.
Yeah.
I think that's why too many people are out there producing things that are not quality and are not going anywhere. And so then you see this term haters being thrown around a lot.
Right, just because you don't like it, now you're a hater.
Right, and the thing is that maybe it's just not well done. Maybe people don't like it. If you're okay with creating something and people not liking it, then that's okay. But if you're trying to create something that people are going to love and appreciate and pay money for, you really need to pay attention. And so it may not be the fact that you don't have that budget to promote yourself out there. It may be simply the fact that it's not well done. And so I think that I just try to make people think, you know, because too many people won't speak up. And
right.
I think when you won't speak up, you do a disservice to other people, you know, and it's not always easy, you know, to address things that make you uncomfortable or you don't like, you know, or whatever. And then you pick and choose who you know, you feel will benefit from you being honest or not, you know. But the reason why I create those posts is more so I want people to really think. And, you know, one of the things that really, really is in the forefront of my mind is being a part of this industry or any thing that we do in life that we're trying to grow, you need other people to help you. You just do. You can't
right.
do it by yourself.
And
you know,
speaking just from an artist side,
mm-hmm.
If you decide that you want to be an artist and you want to create some kind of art and put it out there in front of people, before you put it out there for people to hear, to read, or look at, or whatever the form is, you better check yourself to make sure that you're able to accept criticism.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because everybody is not going to like it.
Mm-mm.
That's the bottom line. Everybody's not going to like it. If you're an artist and you're in it for the sake of the art, then you create from your heart and you put it out there and you have to accept whatever anybody's opinion is of it, and be it good, bad, indifferent, whatever. It's just part of the business. Now, if you're just doing it to try to make some extra money, then you better go ahead and listen to the criticism and say, okay, I need to do this, this, and this in order to make the masses accept what I'm doing so I can get some masses money in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends what your motivation is. If your motivation
right.
is just to create something from your heart or a piece of art or something that you've been working on, something that you've been wanting to do, go ahead and put it out there. But any way you look at it, any side of the house you look at it, if you're doing it for money, if you're doing it for the sake of the art, you still have to be prepared for criticism. And you
mm-hmm.
can't get upset about it. You have to listen to it. Sometimes you have to filter out any past negative feelings or whatever and listen to what people are saying and then make adjustments.
Right.
You have to adjust. So, you know, if something's not good, if somebody sends me something and they say, you know, I want you to check this out and let me know if it's any good or not, I won't say, oh, man, that sucked or anything like that. You know, that's unprofessional. There is a way to criticize or critique someone's work in a professional manner as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you are critiquing someone's work, you better do it in a professional manner. So it kind of goes both ways. If someone sends me something, I'll sit there and I will analyze the whole thing. I'll go through it step by step. I'll get them on the phone and I'll say, okay, this is what I saw here. This is what I saw here. This is what I saw here. This is what I think you might want to do here, and so on and so forth like that. But I'll never try to come off like I'm some kind of know-it-all that, you know, knows everything, because I don't. We all still learn.
Right. Well, and I
think are still learning.
Right.
You know? So
I think that everybody comes with a different ear or a way that they experience it. One thing I learned when I had Flava Coffee House, the physical building, I did an art showing for one of my sister advocates, and she does some really, really interesting, you know, artwork. And so I found that, you know, five people could sit and look at one of her pieces of art and see something so very different.
Oh, yeah.
So I say that to say that, you know, different people will hear things differently. With Stephen Jerome Ferguson being a musician and a producer, you know, he will listen to a piece very different than I will hear it, you know, because I'm more so that fan. Even though I'm learning to listen to music in a different way or to experience literature in a different way, my experience and Stephen's experience could be two different, you know, two different opinions, you know. And so you also need to think about who you send your work to for, you know, an opinion about it. One thing I will say, and I will admit this, there are some people who I have very close relationships with that want my, that claim they want my honest opinion that I have not responded to. And I know that that's probably not the best approach, but I've had people send me things saying, oh my God, Lady Flava, this is my best work.
Oh,
and then I experience it, and I think it's horrible, and I can't bring my, and I can't bring myself to tell them that because they genuinely think it's their best work. And then I watch online and I watch the responses to their work, and they're getting reviews and they're good. And I'm sitting there like, you know, I have these behind the scenes conversations with my daddy, and I'm like, did they read the same thing I read?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I don't think we
experienced the same thing.
If I pull out my credit card
mm-hmm.
and tell you that I want a good review of my music, and I want you to post it on Facebook or on your website or something like that, if I pay you $85, guess what? I'm gonna get a daggone good review.
Okay.
I'm going to get good reviews, or I'm going to get that. I get emails all the time from these, I don't know what they are, these organizations that tell you that if you sign up and pay us $39.95, we can guarantee you 2,000 likes on your Facebook page.
Oh, right.
You know, what the heck is that? You know, and what does that do for me? I'm out $39.95 pretty much. That's about all it does for me. So, you know, I've seen people do that, and it cheapens the art, in my opinion. I would rather have 50 people like my Facebook page because they like what I'm doing, because they actually listen to it and they like what I'm doing.
Okay,
but
tell me this, Stephen and Erica.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that different people experience the art? Like, I mean, like, can something be done so poorly that somebody just really love it?
Yes.
You know, or
yes. Well,
I mean,
because
I'm wondering if, like, some of these people should list who they are. Oh, I'm his mama. I'm a sister and cousin, and I'm the lady who lives down the street, you know, because I'm like,
really? That's not true in my family, because my family is my worst critic. They will tell me if I put out something stupid or not. You know? You also have to look at the dynamics of the social network, too, because I can attest to this. Mark can attest to this.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of female artists can attest to this. Some people, you could put out a song full of beeps. You know those beeps when you touch your cell phone and it makes, when you dial a number, those beeps.
Uh-huh.
You can make a complete song out of nothing but those beeps on your cell phone.
Wow.
And somebody will absolutely love it. Somebody will love it because they're not looking at the art, they're looking at you personally.
Right. Right.
And unfortunately, they're doing that to try to get on your good side, to try to you know what I mean. But, yeah.
No, exactly, and I had spoken about that earlier on mm-hmm. in the show, even today, the fact that, you know, how women will get involved with a male artist and become a support system and say they believe in their art and everything that they're creating, and they come to have a crush on that man, and then when something happens and their bubble gets busted or something doesn't go right, then all of a sudden they a dog and their art ain't no good. And it's like, okay, then
mm-hmm.
how did their art go from being outstanding to no good?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the same. Right. And
yeah,
so that's why.
I had a young lady just taking my music, posting it all over. Every time I posted something, she'll repost it on her page and blah, 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 blah. And this went on for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I sent her an email. I said, you know, well, yeah, I just wanted to thank you for, you know, helping support the music and blah, 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 blah. And she sent me an email back, something to the effect of, well, I haven't really had a chance to listen to it yet because I, on my computer, I can't do this, I can't do that, but...
What?
That's what I said. What? What you mean you haven't listened to it?
Wow.
And I said, okay, let me chop this off at the knees right now. You know, so. But it happens.
It does happen, you know, and I realize that too, that, you know, people, we can feel like we're so connected over the internet. We can create fantasy relationships. We can create relationships that we feel that are really real, you know,
yeah.
it's the internet is a great place for lonely people to feel like they're a part of something. No, that's just, I mean, I don't mean to say
it's
that.
It's true, but it's a cold
it's
way to
true.
Say it, but it is so true.
It's
like,
true.
And
true.
So, you know, I think that's why so many of us are addicted to it, is that we're drawn to those connections. And so, you know, we see pictures of people, we hear voices, we hear music, we experience literature, whatever it is, and we're like, oh, my God, that's amazing, and oh, my God, he's so sexy. Oh, my God, that voice. You know, whatever it is, and then, you know, you create all of this in your head, and that person reaches out to you, and like, oh, my God, you know, I really appreciate your support. Stephen connected with me. Oh, my God, he's noticing me. You know,
mm-hmm.
even though I haven't listened to his music, he reached out to me. Oh, my God, so I better go listen to his music, you know, so I can, you know, whatever it is. And so I think that we need to keep... somehow keep it in reality, you know, in the real world or whatever, you know.
Yes.
And I will mm-hmm. say, you know, and I'm not going to totally blame the people that become fans and infatuated, because I will blame some of the artists too. Some of y'all use your charm and charisma to capture the attention of people, period.
Right.
And sometimes you might go a little bit too far.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and those, you know, those people that are paying attention create this fantasy of an intimate relationship that may not really, really be. And I think it's just really easy to do. And so I would caution artists in doing that. I do know that there are artists out there that will, you know, charm the pants off of a woman to get them to pay for things. And women will pop. And it's so funny, women will pop out with the money, even when they haven't met the person in person.
Exactly.
You know, you know, and so you can't necessarily, I mean, like, whose fault is that? You know, if you're silly enough to go to the bank and get some money for somebody you've never met, you know, or whatever. So I don't know. It's just interesting how this all goes when it comes to connecting online and supporting artists. So you mentioned something, Stephen, about paying like $85 for a review and getting a good review. So do you think that reviewers should get paid, do you believe that reviewers should get paid?
Everybody should get paid for the work that they do.
Good answer.
But the circumstances have to be correct.
Mm-hmm.
If someone that I know that does reviews on a regular basis comes to me and they say that they really love my music, they like what I'm doing, you know, that kind of stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
I would love to review you for my magazine or my website or however they do it,
mm-hmm.
then... I don't have a problem with paying them for their work, because they're in it to try to make some money, just like me.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
for me to go out and solicit somebody to say, hey, here's my music, And I know that it's not good. I know that it's not good, but I want to push it anyway because somebody whispered in my ear saying that, oh, such and such will do a review for you if you pay them $39.95 or $40 or $80 or whatever.
Right.
And go to, you know, it's just a way of doing it. You know, it's... I would rather have a reviewer approach me than me going to look for one.
Right. Okay. That makes sense because they're showing that they're a little bit familiar with who you are and what your sound is versus, you going out and, you know, in a sense, begging somebody to do a review on your work. The reason why I asked that, Stephen, is because... I started, 2006, I think, as a professional book reviewer for APU,
mm-hmm.
African American Book Review Team. And I learned so much from that team. I never in my life regret ever being a part of them because I really, really learned a lot, how to review a book and how to write a professional review. It was a little hard, because they wanted it written in a certain way, and I had to respect that because it was their team, not my own. And at that point, they were just kind of getting started. But they had, a good dozen, if not more, reviewers all over the United States. Some will read any genre.
Mm-hmm.
Some will only read a specific genre and stuff. And now they charge for book reviews. At the point when I was with them, they didn't, but they were, new at what they were doing. Now they charge, either $25 or $50 for a book review.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen it time and time again from authors online saying they don't feel they should pay for a book review. Then there are people who have said online, if they pay for a book review, it better be a good one. So as I was working on, the release of Mark's album, because I ended up taking over that project, that was interesting to learn how to go
mm-hmm.
through that whole process and so challenging. I'm glad I had the experience. But I had a professional reviewer of jazz music reach out to me. So I said,
mm-hmm.
how much do you charge? Just to see if he was going to come to me with a price or what.
$375.
$375.
What kind of reviewer is he? Like, what kind of following does he have that's worth $300?
Well, he has, they have the mainstream jazz artists in their magazines.
Oh, so they're really charging for being side by side with mainstream people.
But the thing is that if you get your book reviewed, for instance, or music reviewed by Associated Press or the New York Times, you're paying.
Right.
And you're paying a lot of money for those reviews.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You are.
And, and this is one of those times I wanted to say, gosh, I wished I was cute so I could bat my eyes long distance to this magazine. You know, and I was like, I couldn't even respond. Like, $375? Not that I would have responded if it was $150, you know. I was like, and he came at me like it was nothing. Like, who do you think I am? You think I roll like that? And that was one of the moments I would have said, if I paid $375 for a review on this album, it better be good.
I know that's right.
You know?
It better be good. It better be the best album for $370. Oh, wow.
That's the other thing.
That's a little steep, yeah.
That's real steep. At least when it comes. I'm like, I want to go back to them so bad and say, who do you think I am? Do I present myself that well? You think I can pay that?
Mm. Well, maybe the quality of your brand and what you put out there represents that. So they would feel comfortable in saying that to you because you do represent a quality platform.
Really?
You do represent a quality platform. Think about it. You're not like the other, and I can only really compare it to the Bay Area stations out here, but.
Mm-hmm.
The way that you share, think about it, you not only support the artist, you not only give them a platform to share their craft, but you also give your own point of view, then you also give information and knowledge that most people have to pay for, or they don't even know where to look to get that information,
mm-hmm.
and you do it consistently. It's not like, oh, okay, I like this person today, or I heard this, or I'm going to play this today, and then we don't hear from you for like a week. Like, a friend of mine said that when we were talking about all the posts that we do, she says, you
mm-hmm.
keep yourself relevant on my timeline. So even if you
mm-hmm.
do, even if you were to skip a day, I'm still going to wonder, like, okay, well, what is she doing? Because you keep yourself relevant. And the way you do whatever it is that you're able to do because nobody else can do it like you, I can see why he would come at you like that or anybody else who would come at you like that and be like, oh, it's going to be $300, $500, $1,000. Like, you already have it like that. They assume that because of what you give out. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Now, if you were sharing, like, you know, crappy music, or, you know, it wasn't quality sound, or the song didn't have a message, or anything like that, he wouldn't have said that to you. Y'all probably wouldn't have had the conversation.
Well, and I will
to you.
Right? I will say that
I
didn't know him. He reached out to me about a year ago. That's when he started his communication
mm-hmm.
with me in regards to Mark's music. And so periodically he sends me a private message to, like, hey, you know, when's his music going to release and stuff. He is actually the person I learned from the importance of the pixel of the picture of the album cover.
Yeah.
Because the pixel level that Mark's original album cover was the wrong pixel.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end... we couldn't fix it, you know, because we couldn't get back to the original picture, you know, and all of that. So we had to totally change the album cover. So this is the person who taught me. He said, no, Susan, this isn't – I need a higher resolution for it to print in the magazine.
Right.
And
yeah.
So he is who taught me, you know, about the pixel and stuff. And he has stayed in contact with me regularly, probably every other month for the last year. he once in a blue moon he'll post publicly on my page, but usually it's a private message. And so maybe you're right, but when he's, you know, when he sent me this thing, you know, and then they do this video, kind of video promo thing for artists that they charge $675 for.
Mm.
But I was, you know, so then that made me just wonder. It made me go back to the fact of, you know, do artists think that they should pay for a review? And then just like you said, Stephen, if you were to pay, who, you know, would you pay, you know? And then if you
right.
paid money, are you expecting a good review? Or could you handle paying money and not get a good review? You know?
Yeah.
You know, so I think that would be a hard thing.
Yeah, and like I said, it's just the way that the whole process has to happen. If people reach out to you and say that, you know, hey, I listen to your music, I think it's this,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, would you be interested in our organization doing a review for you? And
mm-hmm.
if I say yes, then I say, you know, well, how much would it cost me? And
mm-hmm.
they will either say it won't cost you nothing because we love your stuff, or it'll cost
mm-hmm.
you blah, 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 blah. And then I would have
right.
to make the decision then. But it's above board and it's straight. It's not... Hey,
right.
come here. I want you to do a review for me. I'm gonna pay you $50, and I want you to make it good. You know,
right.
even though you don't have to, you know, here's the title of the song. You don't even have to listen to it. Just make me a review. And
mm-hmm.
you know, real writers can sit down and write a review about your art and never have seen it or never heard it, and make
right.
it sound good. You
right.
know, so.
Well, and that's one of the things that when I was a book reviewer for APU, that was one of the things that was coming out from some of the authors, is that people weren't actually reading their book. They were just reading the synopsis and
right,
then writing
right.
the review based off of that. And that was frustrating to the authors that, you know, reviewers weren't even reading the books. They were just saying that, you know, they've read this book and they're part of this, you know, review team or whatever.
mm-hmm.
And so I guess, you know, what you're saying too would be, you know, true when it comes to music. But I guess I brought all of that up to just say, you know, like, you know, when you do things on a more professional level and you want recognition, with that comes more responsibility. And you know, can you really handle that? There's more, you know, more quality that your work is. You know, a different
mm-hmm.
caliber of people will start paying attention. You know, and can you handle that too? Are you ready to step out there in the arena? We hear it all the time about artists wanting to take it to the next level. And I think that many artists don't even recognize and know what it is to take things to the next level.
To be in the next level. Yeah.
Right.
It's a whole different house.
It definitely is. You know, one of the conversations I've been having with some of my, you know, colleagues and stuff, you know, across the United States, you know, they're like, Flava, we believe in you. You know, you've got everything, you know, to make it, you know, and you can and you will. And I'm like, and maybe I'm so wrong when I come to this. I'm like, but I don't have the money. You know, I don't have a financial foundation to work from. And if I did, then I could do so much more. I've been saying this for years now. If you saw what I'm working with and I'm able to do what it is that I do with this, just think if I had more, if I had the, you know, and I'm like, you know, when I started the Flava News movement, you know, and I asked for $1 a month and then changed it to $5 a month,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the beginning, people jumped on board. It was cool because it covered the expense of the radio station and this, that, and the other, you know, and then it kind of just died out, and it's, you know, I'm re-looking at how to create something that makes sense. This isn't about payola, you know, to play your music or whatever. It's about trying to build a movement, and every movement and every artist or business needs a financial foundation. That's the bottom line. If SJF Music didn't have money to work from, to buy the equipment, to create the studio, to, you know, pay the electricity, to have the programs on the computer, to even have the computer or laptops, you know, SJF Music would not exist. If, you know, right now I work off of two computers, you know, and so right now I'm sitting in front of two computers and two hard drives and, you know, and all of that. You know, it costs money to have the internet, high-speed internet, you know, to run what it is that I do. It costs, you know, electricity to run what it is that I do. And so, you know, and then, you know, my colleague out in Chicago, who I've been connected to for a few years now, I guess since maybe about 2009, she was like, Flava, when are you going to start your Artist Grant Foundation again? Because there was a point where I did try to put money together for artists to help fund projects. It may not be have been very much, you know, but I helped, you know, fund some events. I helped fund getting, you know, promotional tools, you know, flyers or business cards, or, you know, I helped a little girl get a cheerleading uniform in Texas. And stuff, and that's one of my ultimate goals, is to be able to have a financial grant foundation to be able to fund, help artists fund things. You know, but it's how do you build that foundation? Then I came to realize when it comes to sponsors and investors, they want to know that you have money to work from already and that you have a source coming in. So, before they actually invest in you, which then, after I thought about it, it makes sense that if they're going to invest in you, they want to know that you're going to be successful with whatever they give you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to be able to put their name and their business in front of a certain number of people that may potentially pay attention to them. You know, so then this is where the numbers come into play. You know, then... You know, I've talked about this in the past, like out here, you know, we have a young artist that who has a financial foundation to work from. He was able to create a hype. He has sponsorship and money to work with, and he was able to pay for certain things to get him to the point of where he is right now. Now, do I think he's the best talent? No, I don't. But I recognize the fact that he was able to come up with the money to pay his way to get there.
Right.
You know, and for some reason, people seem to like to steer away from talking about money. Artists will give away their art for free. Artists will let people into their showcases for free, you know, and things. And so it's like, why is it that when it comes to the money aspect of an artist, it's like a taboo subject?
Well, I can see there's a lot of publications out there, like for independent artists, like City Baby puts out a newsletter every month, a week, or whatever they do, and they have these little tips and things for artists to do. And you mentioned the you know, letting people in the concerts for free and the giving away free music. One thing, it's okay to do that to a certain extent. If I was doing a concert tomorrow and I was in a venue that held, say, 500 people, and I was selling tickets for $10 a piece, I would look at it and say, okay, the first 50 people to get there can get in free. Everybody else got to pay. Put out a song, the first 10 people to download it can download it for free. You can give away stuff, and, you know, companies have been doing that for years. You know, you go to the store, buy one, get one free, you know, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Like that, buy one, get a little half price. It's just a way of trying to get more people to see what you're doing and pay attention to what
mm-hmm.
you're doing. The problem is that right now there are so many artists out there now with the technology and everything that that's at artists' disposal now with the internet,
mm-hmm.
all these different programs for your computer, all this other kind of stuff. It is so easy for lack of a better term, Joe Knucklehead to sit down at his computer and put together some stuff and try to sell it. Where there
right.
are 15 million Joe Knuckleheads out there saturating the market with all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it from the average consumer, if I put myself in a position where I say, okay, I want to see if I can't find some good music online, you can sit down at your computer for 5 straight hours trying to find good music from good artists, and you have to sift through all this
right.
other stuff out there first.
Right.
And it's getting harder and harder to find the good artists out there that's doing actual good work.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody is got that same mentality of, okay, let me give away a little something for free, let me do this, just to try to get somebody to click my link or to turn their head my way or this,
mm-hmm.
that, and the other. And it's, man, it's that is probably the most frustrating thing in this business now, because you could have a good artist putting out good stuff and they're like a drop of water in the Atlantic Ocean.
Right.
You have to sift through all the driftwood and everything else and try to find that one little drop that's good quality and good music or good art or
right.
a good book or whatever. And it's the same thing in just about every genre now. Books, you got the e-books and everything, so people can sit down at their computer and pump out something in a day and a half and put it on the internet and sell it.
Well,
and
yeah, I mean, even back in the day before, it makes it hard because, you know, authors can, you know, people can write books and it not be edited and, you know, not have any substance or relevance to it. So, you know, you're right. And then now we're in that era where you have the e-books. And, you know, it is kind of crazy when, excuse me, to the digital downloads of music. You're right, Stephen, and people have to sift through it. But it's just interesting to me because, you know, Prince was here not that long ago, and Erica really wanted to come back to Seattle for the Prince concert. He was charging $250 a ticket.
He's fresh.
Now,
he knew that.
Right. But the thing is, and you know, people paid it, right?
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is that people, those same people will talk about, oh, gosh, you know, I just really love, you know, what this artist is, this, you know, unknown artist, this local artist is doing, but, man, can I get on the VIP list?
Mm-hmm.
But they spent $250 and Prince didn't even know they were there.
Yeah.
It's a whole different thing. I mean, you've got the artists like Prince, Beyonce, you know, it's a real short list, but they can charge whatever they want for their concerts
mm-hmm.
because they've already got the following. They don't have to they don't have to create a following. They already have a following.
Mm-hmm.
It is certain artists that I have followed over the years that if I find out that they put out a new CD, I don't even have to know what's on it. I'm going to go buy it just because
sure.
I know.
Because it's that
the
artist,
work of
right.
that artist. Right.
Sure. Sure.
And I know that's where everybody wants to try to get to, but guess what?
Mm-hmm.
We ain't all going to get there.
Mm-mm.
And that's a truth of the business. There's only room for a few people at the very top.
So
and
what do you think, Stephen, what do you think it takes for an independent artist to really, really stand out and be recognized to the point that the people are willing to spend that $10 and $15 for their product or to come to their show. And like you said, because there's so many to weed through, even in your own area,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody's wanting to create and everybody's putting on some type of showcase. What do you think that it
right.
really will take for an artist to stand out?
Well, you guys touched on it a little earlier when I first called in and was listening to you. First of all, you have to be professional. You have to have a professional product as well. You yourself have to be professional, and then your product has to be professional. And then, above everything else, you need to be truthful. You need to be real. If you have made this persona of this, and I'm only talking about independent artists right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you sign with a record label, they're going to give you your persona that you have to. They're going to give you everything that you need. You're supposed to do. They're going to give you the right clothes to wear. They're going to give you the right words to say. They're going to give you the right haircut.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to give you all that. Okay, but if you don't have that backing, then you have to be real. You have to be a real, straight up, no bullcrap individual. You need to be personable with your fans. Don't just send them emails about, will you please listen to my music? Will you please do that? Will you please go to my website? Will you please do this? Will you please do that? You need to talk to them like you talk to a friend. You need to ask them how they're doing. You know, how's your mom doing? You know, you have to be real with them. And once you get that, you develop a good base of fans. Sooner or later, this base of fans is going to start talking to their friends about you. And then their friends are going to come and maybe listen to your music or maybe read a section of your book or whatever. But you can't have that. I've seen a lot of independent artists with that, oh, please, please listen, oh, please, please read, or could you please do this? People don't want you to beg them.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever I see that, it just sends I feel like throwing up when I see it or read it or listen to it or whatever. Could you please? You know what? Start off with something quality. If it's not quality, if one thing I try to do with my music
mm-hmm.
is once I put it together, you know, get it in the studio, master it, mix it, and all that other kind of stuff like that, I will take one of my songs and put it in a playlist with other artists that I like. And if I can't tell the difference, then
right.
I know I hit it.
Right.
If automatically I go, oh, wait a minute, that don't sound the same as the rest of them or something
mm-hmm.
like that, then I know I need to work on it better. But
yeah.
there's no rush. Stop rushing.
Yeah.
When you rush, you make mistakes. You cut corners when you rush. You just don't end up with a finished product. I've got a piece of music right now that I'm still working on. I've been working on it since, this is what, 2013? I've been working on it since 2011.
Hmm.
And it's not going to get heard until I think it's good enough.
I understand.
Once I think it's good enough, then I feel good sharing it with people that I actually care about.
Right.
If you don't care about your fans, if you just look at them as numbers or as just faces in the crowd or something like that, then
mm-hmm.
you're not going to start that fan base. You're not going to get that recognition somewhere later on down the road, because you never know who you're dealing with, especially online.
Right.
You may think that it's a female on Facebook that's saying that they like their music, and they're actually a male marketing representative from Sony Records. You never know. In my line of business, where my 9-to-5, we do that all the time on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We have dummy profiles where we try to. I'm in corporate security, and one of the things that we investigate is work comp investigations, work comp cases.
Mm-hmm.
And we put on people on Facebook talking about they can't lift 5 pounds, but they can go skiing, and they have pictures of them skiing all on their Facebook page and all that kind of stuff like that, and we got them, you know. But
right.
You never really – is music companies do it. Publishing companies do it. They set up these dummy profiles. They put any picture up there they want to. It
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter. Any name that they want to. And they're interacting with people, and they're finding out where their passion really is.
Right.
And you have to have some type of passion for what you're doing. If you don't, it will show. Your passion will show, and your lack of passion will show.
You know, that's an interesting point, and I never really thought about that, but you're right, Stephen. I mean, and I say this all the time. That's why it's just kind of bizarre that I didn't even think about that, because I do talk about the fact that you never know who's paying attention. And a lot of people that have reached out to me that are not even on Facebook have come to me through Blog Talk Radio. You know,
mm-hmm.
if I open up the chat room, generally very few people come into the chat room. I'm not one who really pushes that, just because, you know, sometimes I'm just not good at multitasking. So I apologize to anybody who might, you know, wanted to come into the chat room today. But, you know, so it's kind of invisible unless you're somebody who registers on Blog Talk Radio and you actually log into your account. It won't show the number of people that are actually listening to the show.
Right.
This particular show, Flavor Coffee House Online Radio Style, is the top listened to show that I do. And I don't know if it's because they'd like to just hear me talking, you know, and today I love this conversation. I've kind of missed this conversation, so it just shows me that I need to do a artist roundtable discussion. But you know, it's mm-hmm. interesting who has reached out to me from Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, and so many of the artists look at the online radio stations as the stepchild of radio. And actually, we're surpassing what mainstream radio can do for you. And the majority of the unknown artists, the independent underground artists, will never be heard on mainstream radio. So you really, really do need to connect with online radio show hosts and DJs, because this is more likely the
yes.
place that you're going to be heard. And again, just
definitely.
Like I talked about at the beginning of the show, you know, people are reaching out to me, you know, for artist music based off of hearing it on Flavor News Radio. And so you just don't know who's paying attention. The connections that
right.
I have on the East Coast, you know, they come back
mm-hmm.
to me and they listen to my shows, you know, and that's why some of the things that projects that I'm working on with them, you know, are taking place right now. So,
right. And you never
that,
know when you post something online. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. I've got my personal page and I've got my music page.
Okay.
I can post something on my personal page. And I really have no way of telling how many people actually read it or looked at it or hit the play button or whatever
mm-hmm.
unless they hit, you know, they may hit the like button, they may leave a little comment here or there or something like that. And know, that's fine and good. I could take that same post and put it on my music page. The music pages are set up a little bit different now.
Okay.
I could post something on my music page, and I can go back the next day and look at it, and down in the bottom corner, it will tell me how many people actually it reached, how many people actually saw it or read it or whatever. And that really surprised me, because if I post something on my personal page, maybe two or three people may hit the like, and maybe one or two may leave a comment. But then I go back to that same post on my music page, and it's showing 368 people checked it out.
Right.
So I'm saying, okay, who are these 368 people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really doesn't matter. As long as somebody is paying attention, then I need to keep my act together, and I need to keep going the way I'm going, because those numbers are steadily going up and everything. And,
exactly.
You know, it's just another way to... And that's another thing. If you're an independent artist, you need to find a way to track yourself. There are
good point.
You know, you need to be able to have something that will give you some actual numbers, and because to put out a song on Facebook, like I said, you know, 1,000 people could hit the play button, but nobody would hit the like button or leave a comment. You have no way of knowing.
Right.
So you need to find a way to be able to track that. And then I hate to use, you know, Reverb Nation has its good and bad points, but one of the good things that they do is they do have excellent tracking mechanisms in place. And not only will they tell you how many, they will give you a if it's male, female, age group,
and
even
their
location of where they are.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So you'll know, you know, what age group you're dealing with, what part of the country you're most popular in, and that kind of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can target those groups, those areas, and then start building from there. But you need to find a way to track yourself.
That's really a good point, and I've not talked about that. And Stephen's right. You know, you do need to know if people are paying attention and where they're paying attention. A lot of artists don't have websites, but, you know, Stephen tried to teach me this a long time ago, and why it is that when Mark's web designer didn't respond to fixing some things that I requested, I went and built a WordPress website for Mark. And so now I know that. But the wonderful thing about WordPress is that it gives you demographics too. Will tell you where, you know, people are coming from, or, you know, how many hits you've gotten to the page, what page you've gotten hits to, what is the source of where, you know, it's, you know, driven from. So, like, for instance, whether it's Twitter or whether it's Facebook or whatever. And so, you know, right now the site that I created for Mark is one of the free, so it says WordPress. But, you know, you can pay to have a domain on WordPress, and it doesn't show the WordPress.com, and it is much easier than I thought. You know, Stephen kept trying to tell me this a year ago, and I wasn't getting it at all. You know, so now I've learned with that. But I would suggest Reverb Nation. If you're an author, you know, go to Goodreads or something. You know, find some place if you don't have your own website. Because if your own website, you can put Google Analytics on there. And
yes, you can.
You can track that. And that's a free service that you can put onto your website. And you track, you know, where people are coming, how frequently they're coming, how long they stay on your page, what page, you know, they're... the demographics, their locations, all of that. And so I think that is important, and that is a good resource for any artist or creative soul that steps out there and you're trying to gain recognition from, you know, other people. So
it's a lot cheaper to maintain a website than a lot of people think.
You can call
GoDaddy and get on the phone with, and I love GoDaddy. Because they've got technical support that is off the chain. These folks will get you on the phone, and they will talk you through step by step what you need to do, and they speak in English. They do not speak in Greek. Okay?
Right. Right.
So you can understand exactly what they're talking about, and you can do it, and you can have a professional website up and running through them for, I mean, you can get domain names for like $1.59.
Yeah.
You know, for them doing the, what do they call it, the keeping the website up for you is like, I think I paid like $6 a month, $6.79
okay.
a month, something like that. And all you have to do, you tell them, say, I want it to be a WordPress website. The guy put some codes in your account for you, and then you could go to WordPress, and they've got so many free, gorgeous templates out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Where, you know, you can, I mean, you could put together a website in a day, easy.
Yeah,
and it won't
yeah.
cost you hardly anything. And then you've got that email address that says your name at sjfmusic.com instead of using Gmail or
exactly.
Yahoo or anything like that. What makes
it's funny that you mentioned that, too. That's so funny
yeah.
that you mentioned that, because I always question people who have websites that don't have an email address corresponding to their website. I've never figured that out. Like, you know, if I had... you know, ladyflava@gmail.com, but I have a website that's flavanews.com. Why do I have a Gmail account? You
yeah.
know,
and
I...
And there's nothing wrong with Gmail and all that. Gmail is fine.
No,
you know,
there
they've got
is.
A lot of good resources, too, but, you know, it just looks more professional.
I agree.
To have that,
I agree.
You know, it just does. And in this world we live in, if it's one truism, is that perception is reality. What
right.
people see is what they believe.
Exactly.
You know? And so it's
no,
just another
no, that,
way
that's...
of separating yourself from the pack.
And the other thing about, for instance, like with WordPress is that it gives you the capability of being able to share to different social networks.
Mm-hmm.
So directly
mm-hmm.
off of there. Some of it will automatically
right.
post when you post a blog,
yep.
you know, or add a page, and then it gives you the buttons that, you know, you can share to the different networks, or anybody who comes to your site can share to their networks. And so that's another way of just being able to get the word out. It's not all about,
right.
you know, Facebook or, you know, Twitter anymore. There's so many other sources, and you can connect all of your networks from one place and be able to put your information out. So that's something to really, really consider about. You know, we've just been talking
yeah.
today about, you know, how to step up your game and be more professional and how to, you know, put yourself in a position where people may pay attention to you a little bit more because it's so competitive again. This industry of being a creative soul is so competitive, and you want to be able to stand out above, you know, other people and have people pay attention, if that's what your desire is, to do this on a professional level. Stephen will talk about the fact that, you know, make sure you have your work copywritten, make sure that your art is registered to protect
oh, yeah.
yourself, you know, and so then that means that you need to have money, you know, to work from to be able to pay for those tools. That's for those that are, you know, really, really taking what they're doing seriously. And so, you know, I want to thank Stephen and Erica for, you know, calling in and participating in the show today. This really makes me feel good. I was in a mood to talk. Obviously, you could tell I'm not right. But there's just been things that are weighing on my mind. And I just like people to just, you know, pay attention and, you know, and make people think. You don't necessarily have to chime in, you know, but just make people think about what it is that causes them to pay attention. You know, what I do here at Flava News Radio and Flava News is all about supporting underground independent artists. And so I believe that there are talents out there that deserve to be recognized and appreciated and supported. And that's why I do what I do. But I also recognize the fact that the artists and even somebody like myself, we need to do it in a certain way to cause you to pay attention. And so I love this conversation with you, Eric and Stephen, today. This was great. I'm going to push this out in hopes that people will come back and check out the archives if they've missed the show live. And I think we need to, you know, get back to doing the Artist Roundtable. I think things are kind of, you know, slowing down for me with the projects because a lot of the stuff is already in place that I'm working on right now. And so I think we need to do one of those. And, of course, I'm going to be doing my Season Souls. I am so excited about this show, and Stephen's been gracious to help me a bit on this. I am creating a show that's for people, I guess I shouldn't necessarily say that are of the older crowd or whatever, but there's an audience out there, in my opinion, that is not serviced when it comes to music. And they don't realize that there are music being created today that they love, they will love. And so I've created the show called Season Souls, and so I'm going to get to, I need to just pick a day and time to do it, and it's going to be just kind of geared towards that music that I would say maybe the 40 on up age group would really, really appreciate. You know, there are artists that are creating some of that music right now that gives you the sense of that yesterday sound, and just some smooth jazz like what Stephen is known for, and, you know, some moving and grooving funk, you know, and there's music. There really is. There's music being created today that people of my age bracket will just absolutely fall in love with. So stay tuned for Season Souls and, you know, all the shows that I do here on Flava News Radio. It's all about supporting underground independent artists and having conversations just like this at the coffee shop. And so, again, thank you so much, Stephen and Erica, for, you know, sharing this time with me and, you know, letting me open up a great conversation that I believe people will benefit from hearing.
Our pleasure.
All right, no
problem. Thank you for having us.
Of course.
Thank you very much.
All right. I'm going to close out today's show with a piece that's produced by Paris Tune out of Arizona. He works with an amazing band that goes by the name of Mother's Favorite Child, and he works with some great, great talents. And this young man, I call him young man, but his name is Cree Smooth, and this is Ordinary Man. All right, that was Cree Smooth working with Mother's Favorite Child and producer Paris Tune, and Paris actually wrote the lyrics to that particular track. Excuse me. I really would suggest that you go check out Paris Tune. He's an amazing producer and songwriter. He's working with some great talents. They're going to start traveling. I hope to be able to bring them up here to Seattle, Washington sometime in the near future. I love experience what's coming out of his camp. You can find out more about him and the artists he works with at www.paristune.com. I actually wrote a short blog about Paris over at My Flavor Coffee House News on WordPress.com. So go check out the article and all the articles that I write over there. I'm going to try to get to the point of, you know, sharing some of my thoughts or putting out a blog about, you know, an artist that I think is worthy of being recognized. And Paris Tune is one of those great talents out there, putting out quality work and working with live musicians. So take care. God bless. Thank you so much for tuning in to Flavor Coffee House Online Radio Style. This is where we gather every Saturday, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You never know what's going to happen. Is it going to be all music? Are we going to have conversation? You never know who's going to call in. Just come by and share this time with us. And, you know, I'll save you a seat every Saturday. Take care. God bless. Have a great, great Saturday.